The following program is brought to you by Chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide puts answers to your questions in one simple place. www.chemotherapy.com.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
This week we are talking to Cynthia McCown. She is the director of a program that is airing on Discovery Health Channel this month. The show is I Have Breast Cancer, Janice's Journey. And it's described as a highly personal and irreverent look at one woman's fight against breast cancer. The show follows Janice Fine through diagnosis, treatment, and her search for answers. We're going to be speaking with Janice in just a few minutes about her experience and being involved in this program. But first, the director, Cynthia McCown. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's start from the beginning. This has actually been a labor of love for you for, I understand, close to a decade. Tell us how you began working on Janice's journey.
Well, I never actually set out to make a documentary about breast cancer, and certainly not one that, you know, spans a decade of her life and my life as well. But what happened was that I got a call from a close friend telling me that a mutual friend of ours, Janice Fine, had just been diagnosed with breast cancer and that it was pretty advanced. It was stage three. And that was in December of 1993, and Janice had just turned only 33 years old. So I was just shocked and devastated and, you know, just felt like I wanted to do something to help her through the experience and to maybe, you know, sort of like document her thoughts and feelings about what she was going through. And so I wrote her a letter and asked her if she, you know, wanted to use video as a way to kind of reflect on what was going on. And she contacted me about a month later and decided that she did want to go ahead and do that.
Were there other people in your life that had been affected by cancer or breast cancer?
Well, that's an interesting question. Yes, actually. My maternal grandmother died from breast cancer when she was only 39. So my mother was quite young. She was about 8 or 9 years old. So it's had a big impact on my own family.
Now, you say that the Janice contacted you and said that she was ready to do this. Did you immediately begin filming her and working with her?
Well, we did, actually. So we started filming about a month after her diagnosis. So we really captured everything. You know, we went to the doctor's office and visits, went to her chemotherapy treatments, followed her through surgery, through radiation, as well as all the different sort of physical, you know, and psychological changes that she was going through as a result of having this disease and having the different treatments for the disease.
How would you describe Janice at that point when you knew her then? As someone who had just found out this news at a young age, at age 33, what was she like as she met this challenge?
Well, she's an amazing person. And, you know, she is somebody who is well-loved by lots of people. She's an organizer. She's very outgoing. She's an incredibly dynamic, you know, kind of amazing person, really. And so she really, you know, had this community of friends and people that really wanted to support her and did support her a lot through the ordeal. But another sort of battle that Janice was fighting was that her own mother had died of cancer when she was only 17 years old. So for about 3 years, she watched her mother go through, you know, sort of this terrible sickness and, you know, waste away and eventually die from uterine cancer. So this was a pretty big thing that Janice in herself had to overcome, is how do I deal with a diagnosis of cancer after having lost my own mother from this?
Now, you mentioned that this started close to a decade ago then when you first decided to do this. Did the film then go on for that long because you were simply following what happened to Janice along the way? I mean, how did you decide this is the time to end the film? Or, I mean, Janice is a survivor, obviously.
Right, right. Well, You know, to be totally honest with you, it's sort of the plight of independent filmmakers is that a lot of times you're just always raising money to finish your project. So in the course of, you know, keeping on raising the money to finish the project, I kept on following Janice. And it sort of turned out to be kind of a blessing in disguise, because a lot of films just cover one period of someone's life or maybe a year in their life. But I really had the advantage of being able to see her, you know, 4 years out from her treatment, getting married, and then another period of time going by and her having her first child, and then another few years going by and her finishing a PhD that she was just working on at the beginning of the film. So it really was a way to sort of, you know, go full circle in somebody's life. And I think that, you know, sort of that difficulty of being the starving independent filmmaker always trying to raise money turned out to be sort of a blessing in disguise.
What were some of the toughest times for you and for Janice?
Some of the toughest times for me were, you know, I think to watch her go through this and to be, you know, filming it. You know, it was basically me doing the camera and the sound. It was a very intimate way of shooting, which I think translates into a very intimate story on the screen. But, you know, that sort of meant that there was a part of me that just had to be there, had to be sort of the technician, had to make sure everything was going right. And then, you know, I would go home and I would think, oh my God, that was incredibly intense. And then to really sort of think about, okay, well, how do I sort of deal with, you know, knowing this, you know, someone going through this very difficult experience? I think that was one thing that I thought about. I think another thing in making the film was that I became really aware of how many people are really touched by this disease, and not just people who are going through it, but also, you know, their children, their spouses, their parents, their, you know, friends, their employers, their employees, that it really is a disease that touches so, so many people.
And in fact, the program touches on some pretty surprising numbers, I think, comparing where we are today with how many people are being diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer, and what it was like 50 years ago. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, breast cancer is certainly on the rise. And, you know, just a generation or two ago in the 1960s, the incidence was that one woman in 20 would get breast cancer in her lifetime. And now the incidence has actually gone down to one in seven. So, you know, we really need to figure out what are the different factors that are contributing to this, you know, amazing rise in breast cancer.
What did you learn about treatment and treatment options?
Well, I think the most important thing that I learned about treatment through Janice's story is that it's really important to find the right doctor. And the right doctor is the doctor that you feel most comfortable with, who is willing to partner with you in your health care, who's willing to be, you know, open and honest about what's going on, who can be compassionate, and who can really help provide a path for you so that they give you enough information so that you're not overwhelmed, but that they really don't treat you, you know, like you can't understand anything, that it's really a partnership, and that Janice was also privileged to have a wonderful doctor, Dr. Susan Troyan, and a whole care team that really had that attitude and that respect for patients.
How successful was her treatment in the beginning?
Well, I think the great thing and the surprising thing, because things just kept on getting worse and worse before they got better, was that Janice's tumor was very responsive to the chemotherapy. So her particular cancer was really benefited from the kind of chemotherapy that she had, so that the tumor actually was shrunk down to almost nothing. So she started out probably needing to have a mastectomy, and she ended up only having a lumpectomy, which was a really wonderful thing as well.
Were there times when you were, would be with Janice or you'd be filming her in difficult situations where it was really actually pretty tough to be filming? You would feel like maybe that wasn't the appropriate thing to be doing?
Well, I think that, you know, the one thing that I tried to be really careful about was to understand that Janice was going through something where a lot of control was being taken away from her. You know, she had this disease that meant that, you know, she had to have these treatments, but some of them were kind of awful. And I didn't want to be another entity that took her control away. So I would say that the way that we approach this, the filming of it, the actual, you know, deciding on what we were going to film was very much a partnership. And, you know, she also is an incredibly creative thinker. So she really had some wonderful, you know, almost, you know, kind of improv things that she would do with the camera. And I think it was really that. I think it was really a partnership. And I don't think she ever felt like I would push her to do or to be on camera when she didn't feel comfortable.
Cynthia, along the way, did you find that there are a lot of myths and misconceptions about breast cancer or cancer in general?
Well, I think that there were maybe two sort of categories of myths. And one would be that cancer is not a treatable disease, that you get cancer, you get sick, you die from it. And that's just not true much of the time. And treatments are getting better. It's very important, though, to have regular checkups, to really, you know, enlist the aid of medical providers if you feel that something is wrong. Because, you know, generally, if cancers are found earlier, then prognosis is much better. That's one myth. Another that we found, particularly, you know, with younger women, is that sometimes doctors did not, you know, kind of understand that younger women could, in fact, get breast cancer. And that's also part of Janice's story, is that she actually went more than a year without being properly diagnosed, because there was just sort of this misconception that you can't get breast cancer at age 33. Well, in fact, you know, most women don't get cancer in the 30s, but, you know, a number of women do. And so doctors need to be aware that, you know, tumors may not show up as readily on mammograms, so there need to be other kinds of procedures that they use, such as ultrasounds and other sorts of things to really detect, you know, younger women with breast cancer.
Janice's journey is obviously a documentation of her journey and her challenge and her struggle with breast cancer, but it also is about a physical journey that Janice takes back home. Tell us about that.
Well, Janice goes back to her home on Long Island, and where she grew up, and visits the house that she grew up in. And as I mentioned earlier, her mother passed away when she was 17 years old. So Janice really had not visited that home since, you know, she was 17. And it was practically, I guess, a span of almost 17 years, half her life since she was there. So in that sense, you know, it seemed important to go back to Long Island and to understand a little bit more of, you know, what was her own legacy with cancer and, you know, what's going on Long Island with regard to cancer.
Cynthia, what's the most important thing you learned during the making of this film?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think one of the most important messages for women is trust yourself. Know your body. Don't take no for an answer if you feel that something is not right with you. Find the right doctor to partner with you, and you know, and be positive. Don't write the last chapter. Don't give up hope. Ask for help. There are lots of resources out there, and you have to also trust in yourself enough to go forward and get the care that you need and that you deserve.
Cynthia McCallum, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
We appreciate it. Cynthia McCowan is the director of a program that is airing on Discovery Health Channel this month. It's I Have Breast Cancer, Janice's Journey.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place, chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
Welcome back. We are now very fortunate to be speaking to Janice Fine herself. She is featured this month in the Discovery Health Channel special, I Have Breast Cancer, Janice's Journey. Janice, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, well, I'm really happy to have the opportunity to speak with you.
Janice, we just spoke with Cynthia McCown, of course, your friend and the director of the program, and she told us why she decided to document your experience with breast cancer. What was it like when Cynthia first told you about the idea?
Well, when Cindy first asked me to do it, I was uncertain about whether I wanted to, because I felt like I worried that it would be a big invasion of privacy, and also I worried that that it would be making a goodbye film. You know, it was early enough in the 90s to have experienced, you know, watching friends of mine who had AIDS make movies like that because they were dying and they wanted to leave something, you know, for their funerals. So I was very torn about it. What sort of persuaded me to do it was my experiences when I first found the lump on my breast. I kept going to my doctor, and you know, he kept saying, "Oh, you're too young. It's nothing. It's, you know, a common thing is to call it fibrocystic breast disease. You know, to say, oh, you have lumpy breasts. It's usually, you know, just." An artifact of your cycle. Don't worry about it. And I kept thinking, no. You know, I've had these breasts for 32 years. I know what they feel like. This feels wrong. But I think, like a lot of women, I just sort of, you know, after a while, I just thought, okay, I must be being a hypochondriac. I'll just give up. So when I finally was diagnosed with breast cancer and realized that, you know, I should have followed my gut instinct and got a second opinion, that was one impetus to want to make a movie that would empower women, you know, that would give women a sense that, you know, you should follow your gut and you can't possibly be too aggressive about your own body and your own health care and that you know your body best. The other thing was that as bad as that experience was, I had an amazingly good experience when I found Dr. Susan Troyan, my doctor, and I also wanted to model that for people that, you know, finding a doctor who takes the time with you, who spends as much time as you need answering your questions and explaining, you know, here's what cancer is, here's what a cancer cell looks like. She just, you know, took 2.5 hours at my initial meeting just explaining cancer and explaining how long breast cancer takes to develop in a woman's body and what the different courses of treatment are and all that kind of stuff. And then lastly, when I went to my first outpatient chemotherapy appointment, and I met with the nurses and, you know, went to the oncology clinic, they handed me a video to bring home and watch. And, you know, I was really scared. It was early on in the process. It was a scary place. And when I got home, the movie was about how to put on scarves and makeup. And although I think that that's, you know, a useful, important thing, you know, having breast cancer is a really frightening, profound experience. And I felt like there was a whole lot more to it than, you know, than that movie or than that video captured. And so really I just decided that I really did want to do something that would be a tool, you know, for other women who are going through this.
Let me back up and give our listeners also an idea of this battle against breast cancer for you took some time. When were you first diagnosed?
Well, I was diagnosed in the winter of 1994, and I finished all my treatment in the summer of that year. So, you know, it was probably like January to August or so. When you're treated for breast cancer and you're considered cancer-free, it's not like another kind of cancer where you, you know, where the assumption is you will always have the disease, but it's in remission. I was given a clean bill of health in the summer of 1994, And I've had, my health has been good ever since then. I go for, I first went for biannual twice a year checkups, and now I go once a year. And since that time, I've been able to have kids. You know, I got married, I had kids, and finished my PhD. And so another message that I felt was really important is getting cancer as a young woman in my early 30s, and also as a young woman who had a history of having had a parent die very young of cancer, my mother, I thought it was really important to document a hopeful story and to say to women like me and men that this doesn't have to be the last chapter of your life. And just because you've had a parent die of cancer doesn't mean that you're going to die. You know, it's just all those voices in your head. It's really important to have other voices that you know, give you a sense of hope.
You mentioned that you wanted to make a hopeful story, and certainly you didn't want to be making a movie about dying. But at that point in time, you didn't necessarily know.
No, I had no idea. I mean, the impetus, I mean, as the movie went along, you know, I guess what kept me at it as the years went by was the idea that it was really important to, you know, to tell a hopeful story. At the beginning, you know, I think I just felt like I thought it was really important to, you know, to make a really honest movie. And to tell you the truth, it was sort of like performance therapy. I mean, you know, I look at it now and I can't believe I was, you know, so open. But at the time, I think that, you know, it gave me a way of expressing what I was feeling. And, you know, I guess, you know, if I'd been a painter, I would have painted, or, you know, a comic or whatever. But, you know, it was like doing a stand-up routine. I would think about the things I wanted to say about different experiences I had had and thoughts I'd had. And then when Cindy came to film, I would have made myself some notes about, you know, things I wanted to talk about.
So it was really somewhat of a creative outlet for you in some way.
Oh, it was hugely so. And I think, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, it's like I knew in the abstract that people make art in part out of pain, but I definitely think that in my case, that was certainly true. I also think that when you're facing your own mortality, your thoughts get crystal clear. You know, there's like this turbocharged clarity about what's really important. And, you know, in some ways I wish that, you know, I could have held on to it in the same way, but it definitely, you know, I had things I wanted to say. I had things I felt strongly about, and, you know, I just, you know, you kind of clear away all the fog and the distraction, and you get very clear about what your life's about, what's important to you, you know, that kind of stuff.
The film obviously captures some very personal moments with you. What was it like having the camera there? What was that experience like beyond just the creative outlet it became? I mean, were there times when you needed the camera just not to be there, or to be turned off?
You know, Cindy was my friend, and Cindy was really good about not being too pushy. You know, she was really good about understanding when things didn't make sense to film.
What is it that you hope viewers can take away from Janice's journey?
Well, I think, you know, there are several messages, I guess, to me that are really, really important messages. One is that you can't be vigilant enough about your own health care, that, you know, that the movie, I hope, makes women realize how precious our lives are, how precious our bodies are, and that we have every right to, you know, advocate as strongly for ourselves as we possibly can and to make no apologies about that. I think a message to the communities and families and friends of people who have cancer that, you know, it's really important to be there for them and not to wait to be asked. You know, I really believe that my friends and my community and my family saved my life. I think that their love and their support really helped me. So, you know, I think that the instinct to try to keep it private and not tell anybody about it, I think it's bad for your health. You know, I think so, just, you know, also encouraging people to understand that, you know, just saying to someone, call me if you need me, isn't enough, but really to, you know, put yourself out there and, you know, and don't feel like you're invading somebody's space by, you know, aggressively offering help and stuff. That, you know, too many women are dying of this disease. I, for one, you know, feel strongly that there is chemical trespass every day into our bodies, that, you know, it's just absolutely got to be that, you know, since for breast cancer, the statistic is about 5% of it is genetic, you know, we have to ask ourselves, where does the other 95% come? And, you know, I think it's really important to that there be more research about environmental factors in cancer and, you know, toxics and chemicals, et cetera. And that, you know, again, I feel like, you know, this is a movie that's profoundly hopeful, you know, that it doesn't have to be the last chapter of your life. It's got to be a mighty campaign that you wage, but that, you know, you can win.
Janice Fine, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Sure.
And you can learn more about Janice's story on the Discovery Health Channel special, I Have Breast Cancer, Janice's Journey. For more details, go to discoveryhealth.com. The information in the preceding program is for your general knowledge and is not a substitute for medical advice. Listeners should consult a physician before starting any treatment program.